Connecticut's State Department of Agriculture doesn't keep track of the number of farms that come and go, but last month, one farmer wrote on social media that she'd seen three farms within a 37-mile radius close in a matter of 2 weeks. More have shut down since then. Joining me to talk about it is Jess Stone. She and her husband own and operate Cold Spring Farm in Colchester, Connecticut. Jess, welcome to Morning Edition.
Thank you for having me.
Tell us a little bit about your farm.
So we have a Beyond Organic farm on 300 acres. We have 100 acres dedicated to forest land, 100 acres dedicated to pasture land, gardens, animals, and buildings, and another 100 in hay fields.
Now, you've been writing on social media about the struggles of farmers in your part of the state in eastern Connecticut. What's going on?
I would say there's a whole heck of a lot going on right now. It's really unfortunate to see businesses not surviving no matter what they do. We know that this is part of a natural cycle, that businesses in general tend to come and go. But the ones who receive local support, who are focused on spending locally as well as earning locally, tend to do the best. And with farms, I think we need to look at them as a business just like any other in some ways, in some respects. But on the other hand, farms are completely, completely different in the way they need to operate. So it sounds like quite a contrast for me to say that. It's perhaps a contradiction, but both are really integral to the success of a business. And I think that the work is very hard. The hours are very long. Families are at stake. Oftentimes, you're making your priority list, and family should be right up there at the top. But sometimes you have to make choices, or the farm makes choices for you that prevent that from happening. So there is a high suicide rate among farmers. It's quite alarming. There's also a high divorce rate among farmers. And it just goes to show that the sacrifices that farmers make is huge to be able to do what they're doing. And I think there's a lot of businesses who struggle to do the business end because they're just not naturally inclined to business, or they don't have the educational background to understand the basic business concepts. And I think farmers fall in that category as well. And I know that there is more training and more education available now, but it also creates a burden on the farmer to be able to do the part of the business that they're good at, which is growing the crops or feeding the animals, tending to the things that ultimately generate income. But what happens is the business end gets neglected or isn't known enough about to produce the results that actually keep them doing it over many, many years. So you have a system that is not sustainable. So it's a structural and systemic issue, I think, more than a skills issue.
What about property values? Does it start to not make sense to hold on to a farm and all the risks and challenges that come along with running a farm when an owner could just as easily sell?
Right. That's been a challenge from the beginning of time. It often turns out that the best farmland is also the best development land. It's near the best locations for the markets that they choose to pursue that bring them the income they need to keep the buildings and structures and properties maintained. That becomes more expensive with the rise in taxes and the same demands, or people with more money in their pockets can afford to just take that money and purchase who aren't going to be farming.
Let's say hypothetically you're in charge and you can act unilaterally and make one change to help your farm and to help other farmers. What would you do?
The short answer is putting the culture back in agriculture is the way I explain it to so many folks who ask what my mission is. It's been a really big process of essentially building community and connecting people with farms and connecting specifically people to my farm, because that's what I can do. That's my role. I feel that if we can get people to visit the farm, to see the animals, to see the crops that are being grown, to visit the farm stand, to attend a farm-to-table dinner, those are all things that bring people here and get them to look at us from a different perspective and to realize that the importance of farms and how they build community on a local level. One more very big thing that I think we need to do is start taking a look at all this beautiful open space and preserved lands, whether they're through local land trusts or otherwise, and start allowing new and beginning farmers, and possibly people just with the interest in developing it later on in life, with the ability to access these lands through some kind of lease program, so that we can use land that would otherwise take tax dollars to maintain, mm-hmm. and have these farmers with maybe a set of standards about how the land should be maintained, leasing. And I think that's crucial, because oftentimes farmers who can't afford land are reliant on lease deals, which, you know, I think landowners have a very big misunderstanding about how farms operate and what they can bring to the field, so to speak. I think sometimes they think it's a landscaping project and, you know, a form of like Martha Stewart's beautiful pages and magazine setups. And that's just not how farms operate. A working farm will have areas that are a little bit messy. A working farm is a busy place. And there's not time to clean up constantly and make it look magazine worthy. That's just not how it goes. And I think if we start looking at the dedication to land management overall, and all of this space that's available now that isn't being used, that's costing us money as townships to maintain, it's absolutely crucial that we get farmers there.
I want to thank you so much for taking some time from your busy day to speak with us. Jess Stone, thanks for your time.
Thank you.
That's Jess Stone, owner-operator of Cold Spring Farm in Colchester, Connecticut.